Good morning. I'm very glad to be here today. Today I'm fulfilling a dream that I had, preaching in English. Actually, it's the first sermon that I have to preach in English. So, I born is not speaking, but I learned to speak Portuguese when I was a kid, and then I learned Spanish, and I'm trying to learn English now. So if I have some mistakes, you forgive me, please. This morning, Carol asked me to preach about chapter 15 on Luke. And I was expecting pick my topic to preach, but she suggested me to do it. And I'm so glad she did, because I have been searching the internet, reading my books, and trying to figure out some memories that I have my own experience to share with you this morning about this topic on chapter 15. First of all, I think you heard about it, but I want to figure out something with you this morning about the book of Luke. The book of Luke is a very special book. This chapter on Luke is about lost and found. It's the lost and found of the Bible. There is three parables here. But let me talk a little bit about the topic. When you lose something, have you lost something? How did you feel? Did you lose money sometime? I don't know if you lost money. I had a friend. He was making a cleaning on his office. And later on, after the cleaning, he figured out that was missing $400 in his wallet. And then he was looking for the whole house, and he said, maybe I was cleaning this money also. The problem was that he burned all of the papers. And when he was taking a look at the papers, he found this four bills of $100. And he was, oh man, he lost his money. Did you lose the key of your car? Maybe in a restaurant? Maybe in some store that you went there to buy something to you? Or maybe, have you lost your wallet? Oh man, that's a bad thing to lose. In Brazil, I lost my wallet on the bus. Oh man, it was bad. I had to take all of the documents again, go to DMV again to take my license and the ID and etc. Have you lost your purse, your cell phone? One time I went to Payson, and when I came to the United States, I bought a Jetta, a silver Jetta. Now my wife has this car. And it was my dream in Brazil to have a Jetta. You know, in South America, you cannot buy the cars like you buy cars in here. And I bought this Jetta. I said, oh, that's my dream to have a Jetta. So when a friend of mine came from Brazil, I said, man, I wanna show you my car. And he was driving with me. I went to Payson with him. And in Payson, I had this thing on a kind of belt with a pocket here. I put a can of coconut tree water. And I put the key of my Jetta on the pocket, and I closed the zipper. And for the whole day, we were diving on the river, we were jumping on the waterfall. It was about 5 miles, the course of the river that we are doing that, having fun. And when it was coming the time to come back, because he was preaching in a week in our church, I said, it's getting time, about time to go back. But I'm thirsty. Let me take my coconut tree water to drink. And then I pulled the pocket. I took a look at the coconut tree. Water was not there. And I said, oh man, what about the key? And I tried to find the key of my Jetta. It was the only key, the only copy I had. And the key was not there. And I said, oh, I lost the key somewhere in the river. And like a crazy guy, I was stupid this day. I put these goggles, I start to hunt for the key. 2 miles hunting for the key under the water. Stupid. How stupid I was. And then I said, the key is there. God, me, please help me to find the key. And I was looking for the key for 2 hours. I couldn't find it. I was desperate. But what is the experience when you lose something and you find it? How do you feel it? Is that nice? You say, oh, that's good that I found my key. And some people, they get excited with you, you know? You say, I found my key! And then people say, wow. Wow. They're so excited. I don't know if you saw this news in 2009 about these miners in Chile. They were there for 17 days. 17 days. Can you imagine? 17 days without communication. About almost a mile, 0.7 mile under the ground. Rock, ground, light. They have a few light. They were running out of energy. The batteries on the cell phones or the car's battery under the ground, they almost didn't have light in there. 17 days, waiting for some news. And after 17 days, people discovered they were buried on this mine. And then the battle was trying to figure out if they can take these people out of this cave, out of this mine. So for 59 days, those guys were under the ground. They couldn't see the light of the day. And they were sending food. They were sending like communication letters to a little hole. But they were digging a bigger hole to get to them, like this size hole, enough for one person to come up. So can you imagine getting sick in there? If you get sick at the house, we can go to the store, buy medicine. They could not afford it. Can you imagine these people there, hungry? And they were sharing these cookies, this tuna, some fruit, the last food that they have. They start to send food. They say, oh, that's nice. But they start to dig the hole. And then the great day came. All the world were taking a look at this picture, this scene. And when this miner came up, this guy, he first of all, he was in a cave, on the mine, underground. And then he got an elevator. It's just a tiny elevator, enough for one person. And they start to pull him up. And at the first, he was taking a look. It was just a kind of little light. And he said, oh, man, I'm crazy to get out of this cage, to see my family. And then when they got up on the top of the ground, they were there seeing all of these people, photographers, cameras, family, friends, people who they know, and they didn't know these people. When they got out, those guys came to those people, and they were hugging each other. They were happy. And somebody may ask, does these people know him? The president was there. And everybody hugging him. But doesn't matter if you know you or not. The point is, you are lost. But now you are saved. You are alive again. And that's nice. That's awesome. And people say, woohoo! And you remember Elizabeth talking about it. About grace. Are you amazed about grace? Are you amazed about Jesus? These people were amazed on this book. The book of Luke is about happy people. The book of Luke put a woman and a man closer. At the beginning, you have Zechariah and Mary. Two people. They could not have kids. Zechariah, because his wife was sterile. She was too old also. And Mary, because she was not married. She didn't have any sexual relation to anybody. They could not have kids, but they were both together, a man and a woman, Simon and Anna. Two elder people who was coming to church every day. And Simon, when he took this baby on his arms, he said, "Ah, man, now I can die in peace. Because my eyes saw what? Salvation. I can die in peace now." And you have Anna also. She took this baby on her arms. She was like praising God because of it. A man and a woman. The centurion and the widow. They were there. Both Gentile. You have also on this parable the pastor and you have the woman. The pastor lost the sheep and the woman lost the silver coin. A man and a woman together. Remember that on this time, women, they don't have place in a society. They were like something that you possess. Also, Luke put a respectful people closer to an outcast person. If you go to Luke, you're going to see also the genealogy of Matthew goes to Abraham. But the genealogy on Luke goes to where? To Adam. Telling that everybody is going to be saved. Everybody can be saved. Besides of it, Savior is a big word in the book of Luke. Salvation also. And instead of saying this person was healed, Luke said this person was saved. Salvation. The book of Luke is the only book that brings the criminal at the cross. The good criminal. The good stealer. The book of Luke is the only book who brings the prodigal son parable. Book of Luke put the poor and the rich closer to each other. Put a Jew and Gentile, a healthy and a sick person, a child and an elder, a man and a woman. The book of Luke is about joy. Joyful people. People come to Jesus hurting and people leave Jesus' presence joyful. I'm found. The book of Luke is a book of songs also. Right there in the beginning, you have the Mary. She has a song when she had this baby. And Zechariah also. And Simon is singing a song also in the book. But the angels also sing in the book of Luke. They are singing. They are rejoiceful. Elizabeth was happy when she saw Mary coming. And the both babies on their belly. And the book said that John the Baptist was happy. And he was like having party inside of her mom, his mom. You also have the book of Luke. Give us this idea of being happy about preaching the gospel. If you are preaching the gospel, it's better for you to be happy. Did you hear these people sometimes? I have here great news for you. I want to preach a gospel to you, good news. You know, this good news is so exciting. I don't want to hear this good news. If you have good news, it's better that it is a good news, actually. I have good news for you. I have a news that the Lamb of God came to save you. Are you happy with your salvation? Are you happy? Do you feel happy when people come to church? How do you feel? One day I was in one of my churches in Brazil, and I asked the people, what about if on the back door, this guy come to church, he had his hair like this, up. Yes, I know, I don't have hair. I cannot tell you how it is. But he have green hair, spike green hair. He comes with this shirt with a big skull here. And he come to church with a big face, large face. And his mom is coming with him. What are you supposed to say to this guy who comes to church? This mad guy, large face. And one of the others said, I'm going to pull him out of the church. And I said, yes, you can do that. But what you don't know is that this mother, for 2 years, she had been inviting this kid to come to church. Because this kid, he's rebel. He's having a hard time in the school, at the house. And finally, one day, he was a little crazy, out of mind, and his mom invited him to come to church. He said, yes. And then he said, oh, man, I said yes. I should say no. But I said yes. And his mom said on Sunday, you remember that you're coming with me on Saturday to church? You remember, son? Yeah, I remember, mom. I remember that. On Sunday, his mom came to him, and his mom is happy this week. She's singing. She was not singing a long time. And then come Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, this lady, she's happy because her kid is coming with her to church next Saturday. And then next Saturday morning, he is waking late. Because, say, okay, my mom is going to forget me here. But his mom is not forgetting. His mom is singing. His mom prepared a breakfast. And when he wakes up, he said, I'm not feeling good. Don't you worry. Don't you worry, son. I'm going to give you a medicine to you. I'm going to give you a massage on your shoulders. Take a seat here. Eat, please. The best breakfast she could prepare, she did. And then she never gets late at the church. But that day she got late just because she was waiting for her son to come. And when her son come to church, right there is the mom by him. And she is like so happy coming to church. And this guy is telling, I am coming to this church. But I want one of those elders telling something to me that I'm gonna have an excuse for never more coming back to this church. He's expecting you come to him and say something bad to him. But you say, welcome. We are very happy you are here. Are you happy with people, with sinners coming to your church? I would like to see a bunch of these little chips of cigarettes outside of the church. Because there is sinners coming to the church. They are happy coming to the church. Are you happy because this person was lost and this person was found? Can you follow with me on the scripture? Luke 15. Then all of the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus was receiving sinners. There is another song. Casting Crown has a song. Said, Jesus, friend of sinners. I'm happy because Jesus is a friend of sinners. Because I am a big sinner. And I need Jesus. So Jesus is my friend. Are you a sinner? Say with me, I am a sinner. I am a sinner and I need Jesus badly. I need this happiness in my life. Sinners, he eats with sinners. So he spoke these parables to them, saying, what a man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after one which was lost until he finds it? And when he was found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. That's the first parable about the lost sheep. On this parable, you have the person of Jesus portrayed here in this picture. Jesus is the shepherd. The human race was lost, but he came to save us. You have the Trinity here. On this first parable, Jesus is there. But Jesus was sending a message to the Pharisee. Remember, he's telling the parable because the Pharisee was telling that he was eating with sinners. And he said, there is more joy in heaven because one sinner that repents than for 99 who doesn't need repentance. Jesus was sending a message to them. Jesus was talking about publican, about prostitutes, because he was eating with prostitutes here. Tax collectors, he was eating with them. And Jesus was saying, these people were lost, but I'm happy. That is joy in heaven because these people was lost and now they are found. So, you have the second parable. Or, verse 8, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Remember, the first parable, where was the environment? Where was that? On the mall? On the house instead of the church? Where was that? It was on the fields, outside. Jesus came to save all of the people who was lost, the human race. But this parable is talking about somebody who was lost inside of the house. This parable is talking about me and you. Sometimes we are lost. We come to church, we never left the church. This parable is talking about the brother of the prodigal son. The first parable was talking about the prodigal son. This parable, this woman, she symbolized the Holy Spirit trying to touch mine and your heart. Because sometimes we are lost. Even though we were coming to the church, we are lost. I don't know how many times you have to come here and you are feeling lost. I remember sometimes I have to come and preach at a church. But 5 minutes ago, I had been fighting with my wife inside of the car. I felt bad. Yeah, it happens to pastors also. Thanks God, it's not happening anymore. I'm very happy with my wife, okay? And I didn't fight with her before I left the car today. But sometimes we come to church hurting. We never leave the church, but we come here lost. And also the devil comes to church. Do you know that? He comes to church also. So, here the Holy Spirit trying to find people inside of the house. And now you have the prodigal son parable. Verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. One is older than another, obviously. And you know, my wife, she takes care of kids sometimes. And she had the pleasure to hold this little baby on her arms when this baby, he was just born. And this baby, he was a boy. He had this girl. She was 3 years old, his sister's. And my wife always complained about this little sister, 3 years old sister, because she was always mean and mad. And she was always trying to pull her brother through the legs. And she was very mean to him. And sometimes she said, I have to protect him of her. And now, this little boy, he is almost 3 years old now. And this boy had another baby sister. A little baby sister, younger than him. And now the boy is the mean guy. When this brother, the young brother born on this house, the older brother was saying, oh man, He's wearing my shirt, my shoes. He's having my bed. He's eating all of the food. And it's not enough. He's taking my parents. My parents doesn't have time for me anymore. And I am your older brother. We are very jealous about the young brother. Because the young brother is always happy, receiving attention. People don't laugh anymore about our jokes. Because they are laughing about the little kid. When you're trying to steal the scene, you know, making funny stuff, they say, come on, you are older. It happens to the older brother. Certain man had two sons, verse 11 and 12 now. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to the far country, and there wasted his possessions with the prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine on the land. And he expended all of his money. Now he found this person who gave him a job. And this job he has to take care of porks. For a Jew, taking care of porks, it was like humiliating. But it's not enough. He was willing to eat this food. Are you getting to this path that you had your first mistakes, and then you are trying to fix this mistake, and then it gets worse and worse? Have you done that? Do you know that is a kind of orange? It's a bitter orange. It's sweet inside, but after you drink this juice, it gets bitter. Sin is like sucking. It's like sucking this orange one after another. Because when you suck, it's sweet, and then gets bitter. To forget the bitterness, you have to suck sweet again. Like this is sin. Have you tried to cut your own hair? When you're a kid? And then you get in front of the mirror, and you cut it. Oh, it's not good. Oh, man, it's ugly. And you try to cut it again. Oh, man, get worse. I did that to my brother, my younger brother. I learned how to cut hair. I know how to cut hair. I cut my own. And my brother, when I was cutting his hair, I was cutting the first time. And he said, how is that getting? I said, good. And I keep trying to fix it. And then, am I looking good? Yes. And finally, I have to shave all of his head. I was trying to fix something. When you start something wrong, you don't have to fix it. You can go to the professional haircutter. It's Jesus. Some people at the church, they start to do something wrong, and then it gets worse and worse. You have to lie to cover another sin, and you have to lie to cover a lie. And they start to go to this path. Okay. How long do I have? 5 minutes? Thank you. This guy was going bad. And then, let me go to the first time in the Bible, you know that this guy was supposed to ask his money after the father died. He was telling the father, I don't like you. You can die for me. You die for me. And then he came back. And by he came back, like, he was hurting. You know what? He was hurting, but he was never so alive. When you are hurting, you have been never so alive. Because if you are hurting, you feel the pain is because you are alive. You are closer to God when you are hurting. And he came to God, and the father ran to him. It's the only time in the Bible when a parable portrays God running. That's the way God feels about you. He runs to you. And then what they had at the end of the parable? They had a party. There was cake. The fatted calf. And they were having a party. And everybody on this parable, on this chapter, is happy. Everybody. The shepherd is happy with his friends. The woman is happy with her friends. The father is happy. The prodigal son is happy. The servant are happy. The only bitter person here is the older brother. He's bitter. He makes honey taste sour. He's a bitter person. And actually, we always find out that this chapter is about the lost son. It's about the lost son. But the son who was lost was not a prodigal son. The prodigal son is a secondary personage on this parable. The main character on this parable is the older son. Because remember, Jesus is saying this parable for people who was criticizing him. So because of it, he started to say this parable, the three of them. And now, he comes to this bitter brother, say, why are you not happy? I cannot be happy. I cannot be happy. Look, this guy, he spent his money with prostitutes, with pleasures, in his life. I never left the church. I never left your house. And you never gave me any gold to have a party with my friends. And he said, son, all of I have is yours. You are always with me. This person never left the church. He's a bitter person. That is person of the church. They were baptized on vinegar. Yeah, they're so bitter. But they are not bitter because they want to be. They are bitter. And I'm kind of a bitter person. Sometimes we are bitter because we are trying to make our best. We have some conflict inside of us, resentment. And we are like this, we're trying to make our best. We come to Jesus, we gave our heart to Jesus, and we felt it's so good. It's so good to be happy. Bitter person, they felt that it's good. It's exciting about giving their life to Jesus. And then we say, you know what? If it is so good to feel happy about salvation, let me help you, God, to like me more. If you gave me this happiness because I just came to church, you know what? I'm going to pray, and you're going to love me more. You know what? When I first came to church, I have a jeans full of holes on and older sneakers, tennis shoes. And when I came, people received me so good. I felt good. And then I said, you know what? I think God is going to love me more if I put a suit and a tie. I think God is going to love me more if I got early to the church. I think God is going to love me more if I study my Bible every day. And if I'm faithful to the tithes and offering, God's going to love me more. We start to help God, you know, to love us. We try to have control on the situation. And God's love, you don't have to deserve it. God is open heart to you. There is four kinds of people. There is those people, they are lost. And they think they are lost. There is people who are lost, who are saved, but they think they are lost. There is people who are saved and they know they are saved. And those people, they are very happy. And there is people who are lost and they think they are saved. That is the worst kind of person that exists. Because they try to control everything, because they cannot have control of inside of them. They are trying to control people outside. Sometimes I'm a very controlling person. Yesterday we have a sunset. I invite my wife to go to this park closer to our house, and we're singing in there. And my wife, she's very different than me. And when I sing, I have this feeling in my heart: "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." I put myself in God's presence. I feel very good, and I feel, "Oh God, that's a blessing to be in your presence." And sometimes I cry when I'm singing. But my wife, she's not like this. When I'm singing and I take a look at her, she's like this. Sometimes she's like a kid. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound." I'm thinking, you cannot sing like this to God. You cannot be like this. It's seriously, you have to feel in your heart. But you know what? That's my feeling. Try to control her. She's having pleasure finding God like this. Leave her like this. If people are coming to church and then they got early here, be happy with them because they are getting here. If they don't dress the way you like them to dress, be happy with them because they are here. Can you be happy with people? Can you be satisfied in your life? The problem is when you are disconnected person, disconnected from God, you are disconnected from everywhere else. You are unhappy with the traffic. You are unhappy with the situation of your finance. You are unhappy with your health. You are unhappy with your family. You are unhappy with your car, your house. You know what? People disconnect, they are a problem. They are dangerous for themselves and for people around them. But if you are connected to God, we feel great about being with people, even though those people have problems. We feel great when there is somebody cutting in front of you in the traffic. We feel great. We say, "God, thank you. Thank you because you are with me. I'm not feeling angry. I'm not showing my finger to this person. Thank you, God." And sometimes, you know what, when you are driving and you see these people by your side trying to speed up, and I'm figuring him out and he's willing to get in my lane, what I do? I speed up. I don't want to let them come to the front of my car. You know what? When you are connected to God, and you see those people trying to speed up, you push the brake and let them go. Let it go. You are happy. And when you do it, sometimes I did it, and I have people doing like this to me. And I feel great. I feel happy because I did something good. Because I'm connected to God. But when I'm not, I'm a dangerous person. Have you been happy about your salvation? The parable, the chapter finished like this. Done. You say, "Oh, what happened here? Finish the chapter? Doesn't say anything about the other son? The other brother?" No. Because it was an invitation to the Pharisee, the Jewish people, to be happy about salvation. And today, it is an invitation to you to be happy with your salvation. God wants you to be happy because you were lost, but now you are found. We are blind, but now we can see. It's about salvation, about being happy with Jesus. God bless you. I had a video, by the way, don't have time anymore. And Carl is like this to me. I know this feeling. But let me pray with you before we go to the Sabbath school. Thank you, God. Thank you because you gave us salvation. You sent your son to save us. And we are very happy about this salvation. Bless us, O Lord. Maybe somebody came here today with a bitter heart. Not because they want to be bitter, but because the life sometimes drags us in this bitterness. Help us to be joyful people. Help us to be joyful people about lost people. And make us be a light for those people who are lost. In Jesus' name, amen.